Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, author and activist Jesse Lee Peterson. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a round of blah, blah, blog. And now, he can do more than you'd ever imagine. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks for telling a friend about you, don't we, Gina Grad?
We do. Good day.
And Bald Brian.
What else you got?
And I want to thank Quicken Loans. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam and MyBlue for this half of the show. Try myblue.com. Castrol Edge. Tweet us your question. I got some thoughts. We got a good question coming up from Castrol and MedMen. MedMen.com. Let me know you heard it here. Lots of stuff to think about. Always into the blah, blah, blog. I went, and I'll just follow up, because I was like yelling at Gina Grad last week or some point when she was talking about the pedophiles are running loose in the prison camps where we keep the Mexican kids. And I'm like, don't do it. Because every single time one of these stories comes out, it's like, there are a bunch of black people on the roof in New Orleans. And then what happened is Bush came by in a helicopter and he got a shotgun and started shooting at only the retarded kid.
I heard that story too.
Right. And then it turns out it didn't happen. And all it is making a situation worse. It's inflaming. I don't think they're pedophiles running loose in the cages. Pedophilia
to
happens.
Clock in and clock out.
Pedophilia happens. Pedophilia happens in gyms and in churches, and pedophilia, it happens at home with grandparents, and like it happens. I've never this thing of like it doesn't happen or it does happen. I'm going with it happens, like racism happens, like everything sort of happens, tsunamis and stuff like that. But I don't think there's a situation where they've unleashed pedophiles. And I cited the Superdome in New Orleans. And this is in modern day times. And I remember all the stories of the roving gangs and people being raped in the locker room and people were being stabbed on the 50-yard line and all the stories that were coming out of the Superdome. Now, I'm not so sure why we couldn't accurately report what was going on in this very confined area. Like, it's not that big an area. It's a confined area. If you see someone being stabbed and killed, then you see someone being stabbed and killed. But if you don't make up the stories about the Crips and the Bloods squaring off on the sideline. But I thought, and then I remember subsequent, after all the crazy stories of the roving gangs and the kids being raped and all that kind of the murder, then the stories start coming out, which is nothing really happened. It was orderly. So I went and looked it up just to see what happened. And it was a story. The paper was out of Seattle, so they're progressive and everything. They're not trying to spin it. And it was a doctor coroner guy who was basically showing up. He thought he's going to have to show up with a refrigerated semi-truck because of all the bodies. So meaning the stories, they're not neither here nor there. It's causing the guy who's going there to collect the bodies to commandeer semi-trucks, refrigerated semi-trucks, because he's getting reports from the front that there's mayhem and body parts scattered everywhere. So he shows up with the refrigerated truck. And the story is there are six dead people. Four died of natural causes, which I guess if you were elderly and poor and got shuffled off to a dome, four people and 30,000 people may just have died on any given New Orleans weekend anyway. So four natural deaths. One suicide, jumped off of something Jesus. Up high, and one drug OD. So those were the six deaths when the reports were carnage and roving gangs.
No perpetrators.
Well, I don't know where you get the report of roving gangs and carnage if there are no roving gangs and carnage. I'm assuming it's better at the top of the news. Mm. So I always worry when these things, I don't worry. I know what's going to happen. What's going to happen is a whole bunch of crazy, they've let pedophiles loose in the cages, and they have rabies. And then at some point, we'll get the real version of it. And the real version is bad enough. That's kind of my take. We don't need to supersize it or put it on creatine. You know, the real version, it just goes, this is why you can't listen to the news. The real version of what went on at the Superdome is a good enough story or bad enough story. We don't need to add a bunch of golden raisins to it and make it into ambrosia salad. It's like, it's a story. Go cover it.
In and of itself, it's remarkable.
But all the stories have to come out, which now make it kind of, but also if you really just kind of use your mind, like, so they're roving gangs killing people in here, and how does that work? Like, what really? Like logically, how does that work in here? Or how does the pedophiles loose in the cages with the refugees? Like, how does that really, how would that work? It seems like a pretty secured area. Seems like there's a lot of guys wearing windbreakers with zip ties standing around and ball caps. Like, where are they going with the kids? How's this really work? I've seen a lot of air mattresses and
potato blankets
I was trying to think of radiant barrier, which is my favorite
thing.
Put it on the ceiling. Well, it's rich man, poor man, right? Either completed the Boston Marathon and you're draped in one of those, or you're fleeing from San Salvador. All right, so
to your point, like the false reports or the whatever urban legends, the rumors, the things that end up being false, takes away from the severity of the real thing, whether it's Katrina on the Superdome or camps where kids are being, or whatever it is. Like you said, it's a serious story one way or the other, but to falsely put it over the top takes away from the severity of the actual thing.
Well, I would say yes and no. Here's what I would say. I would say that it doesn't take away from the severity of the actual incident that we're talking about. It ups the ante. Mm-hmm. Where you have to pay the fiddler is when we find out this shit didn't go down. Then there's another incident. Mm-hmm. And now Gina Grad is going to say, there's talk of pedophiles. And I go, really? Who said that?
Yeah.
Because I don't believe it.
Well, yeah.
Maybe it is happening. Maybe I should get over there and tackle the pedophiles. But I'm not. Because I don't believe you. Because I got burned already on the Superdome. Right. I'm not getting burned on this one. So it does add to it in the moment.
Right.
But at some point, you have to pay the fiddler, and so do the news agencies. And I've never heard more stories in the last year. I used to just turn on the news and go, I guess that's exactly what happened. Now I'm like, oh, please. That's this podcaster. All right. But good half a point, Brian.
I should have said what I meant was, yeah, once it's disproven, it becomes, you know, it takes away from the impact of the seriousness.
Yeah.
I mean, it is severe one way or the other.
Yeah, I think it just hurts it down the road. It hurts the next thing you try to get me outraged about or invested in emotionally. All right. Speaking of the refugees, I had a nice piece of timing. You know, I like to compartmentalize. It's two things. I like doing a lot of izing. I also like to do a lot of...
you like to internalize?
I internalize.
Marginalize.
I marginalize. I compartmentalize. And I fantasize. But I like to do a lot of... a lot of studying. I study and...
Analyze.
And I
apologize.
And I was like in my bathroom over the weekend, and I was thinking, oh, everyone's flooding into this country. And I started thinking, who would I like flooding into this country? And then I went, man, I could use a few more Japanese.
Yeah.
I thought I learned my lesson well when I was walking through my, and they're, look, whatever you want to say, not every culture is the fucking same. Different cultures are different. They emphasize certain things and emphasize other things. And you may like some of the things the same culture likes and dislike some of the things that same culture emphasizes or doesn't emphasize or whatever. It doesn't make them good or bad. But let's just admit there's differences.
We could do with some more Buddhists.
Right. We could definitely do with some more Buddhists. And when I was... And more Jews! Where are my Jews? When I was... Look, I've said 1 million times, if my daughter or son was thinking about buying their first house and they said, I could buy a house in a gay neighborhood, I'd say, by all means, buy a house in a gay neighborhood. They keep up the property values, mm-hmm. the curb appeal, the lawns. I mean, the crime, everything. Go find that gay neighborhood. Okay. Then they said, I want to eat at a restaurant. I'd go Mexican. Don't eat at a gay restaurant. You get a gullet full of semen.
A gay restaurant.
Do they have those? Well, they have gay bars.
Yeah, it's called restaurants.
Huh?
I think they're just restaurants.
Yeah.
Like if a gay person owns it, it's still just a restaurant.
I'll have to investigate. I'm going to have to go undercover for 6 or 8 months and really get into this subculture.
Yeah.
I'll report back to you guys periodically.
Yeah, we'd have to take a look at the front. Is that the health care? Is that the health code rating on the front, or is that a blood type? Maybe they got hepatitis. Is that C?
B positive.
Hepatitis C.
Oh.
Best gay restaurant in Los Angeles. There you go.
Well, now I gotta know.
What is it?
It sounds like Fuddruckers, but it's a little different.
Not the two with the ad, Kaylin.
Yeah, scroll down. Melrose Station, Urban Skillet, The Abbey, of course.
That's number one. Yeah.
Mojo. I can't read anymore.
All right, this is
a good pod.
Move into a gay neighborhood. And then, when you're hungry, go find some Mexicans and eat. Okay. So what's good, what's bad? I don't know. But I do profile.
Right.
Okay. So I was just thinking, hey, we could use some more Japanese around here. And it struck me when I went to visit my dad's old neighborhood in South Philly. It's the only time I've ever felt sorry for my dad. I'm usually in, oh, he's a douche. Setting, but this time I went like, oh boy, like going to his old address. Me and August went there in South Philly was goddamn depressing. Like it is a rundown, beat up neighborhood.
Barbershop quartet on the stoop.
With the trash can lit, middle of summer. So I said, and I remember when his mom died and they sold the house in the 80s when all the houses around here were getting really expensive and they got $16,000 for it or something. Hey. Anyway, I felt really bad about my dad's life. Then as we walked through my dad's old neighborhood, walking around the mattresses and the box springs and the sofas and the garbage that are all out strewn about the sidewalk, it's at some point
crossed the street.
It's probably a little less Italian community in there now.
Oh,
but
okay.
And so don't picture Stallone's brother. Take it back, Frank. So we crossed the street, the main boulevard, and all of a sudden it just got clean. It got clean. All the trash and all the stuff on the streets and the graffiti and the people were sweeping their porches and stoops and sidewalks. And I was dumbfounded by it. Like, I noticed change a lot. I was like, how did stuff change? Not gradually, just from this side of the street to this side of the street. We crossed the street. It got better. It got clean. And I was like, what's up? And I was trying to figure it out. Like, and I thought it must be some district gerrymandering thing where, like, we crossed into Congressman Cleanman's, like, like jurisdiction or something. Like, we crossed into somebody else's territory, and that person has everyone volunteers cleaning or something.
Right.
Something. And I was so impressed by it, but also sort of confused because just across the street, I would stop people and go, what's the difference between this side, like locals? Who's on this side of the street and what's on that side of the street and how's it work? And they're like, oh, this street, cross over, you're in Asian town. Like, you're this the Asian part. Like, that street is the demarcation of the other guys, and then this is the Asian part.
Okay.
I don't even know what Asian, just this is the Asian part, like now you're Koreatown or you're Japanese town or wherever it is, little Tokyo, whatever. And it was immediately tidy and clean. And I thought, that's a good trait. And then, as I was having this thought when I was leaving the shower, like, I could use a few more Japanese. I turn on my computer, and someone had tweeted me, oh, here's footage of the Japanese soccer fans at the after losing to Colombia. Here's them cleaning up their area.
Tidying up their section.
Everybody has bags. Everybody's picking up whatever's on the ground.
Now, here's what we'll do. I'll do what everyone does to me. Okay, that's these Japanese people. But I know this Japanese guy. Oh,
totally validates this whole thing.
He'd finish off a burrito and throw the wrapper right on the ground and keep walking. You don't know my one Japanese friend who's a slob? Yeah. Okay. But in general, soccer fans are a nice little snapshot of a community. These guys hang out and clean up afterward.
I think that one dude's friend invalidates all of that.
Yes. I tend to like this woven into a culture. All right?
Yeah.
That's me.
Oh.
Okay.
Remember right around this time this song was popular? The Japanese are going to own everything. That was the whole thing in the 80s. The Japanese are going to own everything for you. But I was, you know, in elementary school. Right. By the time you're an adult, Japanese are going to own everything.
Good. I don't mind. Also, they can't pick it up and take it with them to Japan. So if they own Nakatomi Tower over there where they filmed...
Nakatomi Plaza.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. There you go. If they own it, that's fine because Comedy Central was in that building and they couldn't take the building to Japan.
Port Takagi.
Or Takagi. Mm. Or whatever it was called.
No, no. It's Port Takagi. You got his.
Oh, that was him. Yeah, right.
Standing
sorry.
Up to Hans Gruber.
Anyway, I thought... underrated villain, Hans Gruber.
One of the all-time great villains.
One of the all-time.
Alan Rickman never, I don't think he was ever nominated for an Oscar. Never won, for sure. And I believe he was, which is a crime. That guy was a great actor.
Is he dead?
Yeah, he died last couple year? Years. Yeah, yeah, within the last year or two. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Real shame.
He shall be missed. And great. Great in that.
Yep.
The greatest part about the understated gentleman villain is when, at the end, they start to lose
it. They lose it. That's right. They devolve.
That's great because everything is so understated until they lose it. All right, Gina. Gina had a first world problem.
If I was an elite Yelper, take this restaurant down.
The Beverly Wilshire?
Beverly Hilton.
Thinking about time, there was the upfronts at the Beverly Hilton, and I ended up at the Beverly Wilshire because the Beverly Hills Hotel, the Beverly Wilshire, and the Beverly Hilton are within 7 blocks of each other, and it must happen all day, every goddamn day, that somebody's Ubering to the Beverly Hilton when their wife said it was at the Beverly Wilshire and vice versa, and people coming in from out of town,
or
the cab drivers dropping them off at the Beverly Hilton, but there's the Beverly Wilshire, and the blah, 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 blah. They gotta do something. All right, sorry.
So
what'd you take, Santa Monica or Little Santa Monica?
Little Santa Monica.
Two streets with the same name on it, but right next to each other.
I'm trying to confuse you.
Yes. All right. Sorry.
So we, a couple friends that we thought we'd splurge, and we went over there for dinner and, you know, ready to drop some money. Well, they were, and for us, and had a great time. And things devolved quickly, though. Somebody ordered the vegetable lasagna. And on the menu, it says what's in the vegetable lasagna. It says zucchini, squash, and mushroom.
Someone at a different table, not a friend of yours.
Unfortunately, someone at our banquette. Oh. I know. I wasn't going to name the vegetables, but it's important to the story.
It's all right, but not the lasagna. Why do we got to ruin lasagna?
I'm with you. Right, I didn't order it. All right.
They went to the Beverly Hilton and ordered veggie lasagna. All right. They get what's coming to them. But go ahead.
Well,
you made your bed.
You ordered $27 veggie lasagna.
Yeah, like a white lasagna, you know, hope for the best. And everything took a really long time.
I like white everything. I know. But even I draw the line at lasagna. White pride, white power, everything. Yeah, but
all of
lasagna,
it.
Privilege? No. Privilege, yes.
I'm
lasagna,
sorry.
No.
I know. I'm not creating any fans with this story, but I think it's an important story to tell. And another friend of mine was like, I'm going to treat myself. Going to get a filet. So, you know, we're all waiting for the food. Everything's taking a really long time, and the place is empty. So that was confusing. The food finally arrives, and my friend ordered this filet medium. It came raw. It came mooing. He ate it anyway. The one who ordered the lasagna is allergic to spinach. Has an EpiPen for whatever reason.
Can't have
spinach. So she starts cutting it open. She goes, oh my God, this thing's full of spinach. And we're kind of dissecting it a little bit, looking at it. She goes, this is full of spinach. On the menu, it didn't mention spinach. I would have not gotten it. Call the waiter over. And he looks nervous already. There is some flop sweat. And she says, excuse me, I'm sorry. the menu didn't say spinach. I'm super allergic to spinach, and it looks like there's spinach all over this. Can I have a new one, or what's the deal, or what's happening? Oh, yeah, no, there is no spinach in there. She goes, well, I'm looking at it, and I have an EpiPen. Like, let's not make a scene. Like, can I get a new? We'll make a new one for you. Well, I'm going to find out what's going on. So he takes off, and this is a big lumbering dude, and he goes to the kitchen for a long time. Then we see him come out of the kitchen.
You're squealing tires.
The kitchen, and he looks like he's coming toward the table, and then he cuts right and runs to the manager's, the concierge, like host station, and they're frantically talking, and we are just dying to find out what's going on. He finally comes back to the table, again looks very nervous, and comes up with this fakakta story that doesn't make there is no spinach in the lasagna, but somehow this particular square had lasagna or had spinach in it, and we'll make you another one. We're so sorry. None of this adds up.
That's impossible.
We're looking at it.
Did you make a pan of lasagna?
I would rather have veggie fakakta than veggie lasagna.
Here's your fakakta bread, sir.
So we're looking at it. And the way it's minced and chopped, like super teeny tiny little chip chop little pieces
processed
of vegetable. That shit is a lean cuisine. Mm. It is a frozen dinner. And we're looking at each other.
Look, I love to put on my sleuth hat and get out my big magnifying glass. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, yeah, but veggie lasagna is kind of a commitment. In terms of if you're these guys, if no one else is around, I would reckon, you know, if I had somebody tried to get me to eat veggie lasagna on my last flight. It was like, you want the veggie lasagna or do you want the dried chicken you don't want? And I'm like, I want real lasagna. That would be awesome. But that's a captive crowd. Yeah, you have to order it.
Right.
The restaurant, they were making a big pan of that. Maybe they just go get some Wolfgang Puck and just put it on the back.
The street.
And by the way, anyone who orders veggie lasagna has no taste buds anyway.
That's right.
Well, they apologize, and 10 minutes later, he comes back with a, now that's more like it, piece of lasagna, a beautiful, bubbling, overstuffed lasagna that does not look like the thing that they accidentally took out of a box, nuked, and served. Mm-hmm. We said, why do these two pieces of lasagna look wildly different? Again, flop sweat, tap dancing, apologies, ran away, free dessert.
You don't have the lasagna, the old A example, on the table at this point, right?
No, he wanted that off the table quickly. There was no way to compare and contrast. But this one had big, I know it's not the way we would eat it, but big, giant chunks of zucchini and whatever. I know. But the other one was just little minced chop, chip.
But then how did they whip this together so quickly?
We don't know. We can't get to the bottom of this. It's like they accidentally grabbed somebody's dinner it came with them to the restaurant, like a server was having it for later.
I'll posit a theory. So a lot of times at big hotels, all the food comes out of the same kitchen, whether it's for room service or whatever. It could have been like a room service kids' dinner.
Interesting.
If it's a smaller, less impressive piece that maybe they did unfreeze, wouldn't be shocked if that was like a kid's.
What did you order?
I had the salmon.
It was accidentally run out to you.
We got free dessert and apologies. My friend got food poisoning. Again, I can't prove it, but I feel like I know what a lean cuisine looks like. Trust me, I grew up in the 80s with a mom always on a diet.
I would trust you with nothing in life, but the identification of lean cuisine and Snackwell cookies.
Thank you.
I would not let you watch the kids.
No.
I would not let you around any of my vintage race cars.
I wouldn't.
I'm uncomfortable with you in the studio,
sure,
but I feel like as long as I can see you, it should be okay. But when it comes
to
identification,
my address, let alone my phone number, makes me nervous. Right.
But when it comes to either lean cuisine on the entree side or the Snackwell cookies,
I got you.
You've cracked my top 12 of folks I trust in the identification department of those two culinary delights.
It means a lot to earn your trust.
Absolutely. You're knocking on the door top 10.
Don't abuse it.
Next time I shuffle the rankings,
cocky,
you may jump up into single digits.
Yeah. Shit.
I shuffle them on the third Monday of every month. So,
okay.
Oh, yeah,
So now I'm at 12.
Yeah, but that's why we shuffle once a month.
There's 30 days till the next ranking.
Well, I think this story helps.
This story helps a lot.
I think this is at least a 9.
So you had the,
I had the salmon, the pan-seared salmon with the skin on top, which was delicious. Great meal.
And
I had a good meal.
The person got the food poisoning.
Yeah. He asked for a medium filet. He got a mooing filet. He said, it's fine, it's fine. He ate it and woke up the next day with a real problem.
I did, had the food poisoning twice, one on the party bus for the bachelor party at the man show, and the tainted, gumbo oyster. The soup. Yeah, right. The chowder. And the other time it's a soft shell crabs in, Washington. And each time was a good 8 hour delay.
Oh, yeah.
Until the fun started. And so the people, yep. And I've talked to Drew about this, and I think it kind of depends what you ingest, but the people, there's way too many people who eat something and go, ooh, I think I got food poisoning.
Doesn't work that way.
It does not work that way. It is a good, like, 10 yes. hour steeping period.
And you know, you can trust that somebody has food poisoning. They say this phrase. And when this phrase was said to me, I knew it was food poisoning. I said, every symptom you have, that sounds like food poisoning. It's not food poisoning. I'm dying.
Right.
Okay. No, you have food poisoning then.
Yes. Yeah. Now take all those people and put them on a bus and have them all have eaten that soup. Yeah. And nope. then. And they all were getting lap dances like 2 hours earlier, trying to have like a gurgling stomach and like jumping up and down on their lap. All right. We'll do a little blah, blah, blah. We'll get to the show. I'll tell you about My Blue first. Vaping is huge now. No ash, no odor, no brainer. Blue. They've introduced vaping the world. They're now introducing My Blue. All the satisfaction, none of the hassle. Drew loves this stuff. Dr. Drew, that is. Just click and go. Easy to use, one-click liquid pods. Switch between flavors in seconds. Wide range of flavors to choose from. Just 20 minutes to charge, and you're set for the entire day and for a limited time. Blue is letting you try their new My Blue Starter Kit for just $1. Hurry. Supplies won't last. It comes with a free limited lifetime device warranty called MyCare, so they'll take care of it, but it's not going to be a problem, and so you can get started for just $1. So try it today. Go to My Blue, that's BLU, myblue.com. And if you got smoking those cigarettes, put them down. Pick up that vape, man, because it's better for you. It's, well, it goes from bad for you to nothing for you. So, My Blue. All right, let's see. We got blah, blah, blah to play. And where's the bio for our guest? Do I not have one? Do you have one?
I have.
What, did I do something with mine? Maybe I did something with mine. Oh, yeah, I got it. Jesse Lee Peterson.
Can I have mine back, please?
No, I collect bios. Interested in talking to Jesse Lee Peterson. I had, I know Maxine Waters is in the news. Just so you guys don't think I'm Johnny Come Lately with the Maxine Waters is nuts. I haven't heard it yet, and I haven't heard it since I said it. But what year was I saying she was nuts on Loveline? Kaylin will find it. So we had Giovanni go do a deep dive on that.
This was based on the politically incorrect incident?
The backstage.
Yes, 2000. So 18 years ago, I was saying, this chick is nuts. Long before Maxine, I don't think anyone really even knew who Maxine Waters, not nationally for
sure. It took the people a while, but finally they caught on and got her out of there.
She's doing so much good in the community. All right. So should we play a little blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It's time for Blah Blah Blog, the game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
The theme today is immigration. Children must be able to play, study, and grow in a peaceful environment. Woe to anyone who stifles their joyful impulse to hope. Is it Jim Carrey, Steven Tyler, or Pope Francis?
Oh, wow. Oh. I have a strong feeling about this.
I didn't see the last twist coming.
No. I have feelings about this.
Now, these were the...
Writing mine down.
I was watching the news. I think it was CBS in the morning or something, and they went back to, like, Guatemala to talk to the grandma who was pissed off. Except for she was living in a Sears gardening shed and going like, this is an outrage. It's like, we need Miguel back. It's like, back to the place with no education, no clean water. Like, look, say what you want, but you have to kind of compare and contrast a little. These folks weren't pulled out of high-end institutes of education on the West Side, where they ripped out of their mom's Priuses and tossed in a cage at the border. They walked. They lived in squalor, or they wouldn't be there. So yeah,
I think you confuse your argument a lot when you're like, kids should be allowed to be joyful and play and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, I doubt they're very joyful on their thousand-mile journey to wherever they were. Right. It's like, don't confuse the issue by saying something that isn't germane to what's happening, which you can argue that it's horrible. That's one thing, but don't confuse the argument.
Right. Focus on, like, hey, where's the policy? How come there's no modality? Or how come, or I'm unaware of a modality to return every child with their kid, or whatever that angle is. But don't just pick the angle of these kids were chasing butterflies in a field, you know, and all of a sudden Trump came up and he went full Planet of the Apes with a net over him and dragged him off to the border. Like, wherever these kids come from, it is scary, dangerous squalor. Or they wouldn't be
Hence
there.
Why.
Hence they're there. Okay. So let's see.
Ooh. Jim Carrey, Steven Tyler, or the Pope?
I don't like this Pope. He's given a thumbs up.
You don't like that?
That's very Fonzie, not very Popey. Also, he looks like a knock-around guy. Like, if you put him in some Bermuda shorts and, like...
Tommy Bahama.
I was going to put him in one of those shirts, not Lacoste, but the Fox one. There's one that was like the cheaper version of the Lacoste. It didn't have the alligator. It had like a five. It was like back when I was in junior high, it was super important for people to know you shopped at JCPenney for some reason. Right. Like they had to have their own. Super denim. Oh, sorry. Not good enough for Levi's, huh? Oh, weird foxing on your shirt. Yeah, not good enough for an alligator. Like now they've just figured it out. Like we'll knock off the alligator or we'll make them cheaper or we'll do something. All right. But he seems like a knock-around guy. Tyler's one of these guys that somebody was explaining. I had this theory, right? I've always had this theory, which is I have this secret theory that I yell into a microphone three times a year. My wife hates it. But there's certain guys I'm kind of convinced they're dumb, but creative geniuses are great at their art. And the more they stay away from sharing their opinions about other subjects from the microphone, the more they'll get to retain their genius status versus blah, blah, blahing about anything. Right. And I always had that with Robert De Niro. I thought he was a gifted sort of savant of an actor who intellectually wasn't all that bright, which that's fine. Like LeBron James or something, like an amazing artist who might not wow you if they were sitting next to him at a party talking about another subject. Right. Or if you could get over the fact that it was Robert De Niro. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I felt that way about Bruce Springsteen. And somebody said they were listening to Steven Tyler, I think, on Joe Rogan's podcast. And I go, you know what? Not kind of a dopey dude.
I think Steven Tyler's the best example of that whole group. I agree.
Yeah, like just
that.
Like coolest dude in the world. Yep, yep. Now he's sitting down for a long form interview and he sounds like a little dopey. Mm-hmm. So my point is to stay away from the microphone, maintain the legendary genius status. That being said, I say Jim Carrey.
Interesting.
Because Jim's sappy.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being catfished with the Pope thing, but I'm going to go with the Pope.
This is very interesting. I wrote down Steven Tyler. It has the word whoa in the middle of it. And I know that Pope's given the Fonz thumb, but I think it's Steven Tyler.
But that Joey would say whoa, too. From
Joey
Lawrence. Joey Lawrence. Whoa. Well, if I told you the whoa was spelled W-O-E, you might have understood that the blog belongs to the Pope.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Whoa to those.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, whoa.
Whoa to those.
Woe to anyone who stifles their joyful impulse to hope.
I still like it. I still like Steven Tyler for that.
God, even the Pope's a blowhard. All right.
Break up the families.
He literally pontificates.
He's
a pontiff.
Break up the families. Sell the kids. Pure evil. Hashtag Trump concentration camps.
Sell the kids.
Is it Rosie O'Donnell, Kathy Griffin, or Cher?
Mm. Oh, interesting.
Sell the kids. Where's the sell the kids part come in? I mean, how's that? Usually there's some semblance of something that's going on.
I haven't heard that rumor yet. Only the pedophiles.
All right.
Roving pedophiles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the... everyone here's nuts. Mm. But this sounds extra nuts with the sell the kids part. I haven't heard from Cher. What's she doing in here? I'm going Cher.
Cher is not a fan of the president. She's pretty outspoken about that, but then so are the all three of them.
I feel like if it was Kathy Griffin, it would have made like a trending kind of thing. Like Kathy Griffin back in the news criticizing Trump. So I'll go with a safe pick, Rosie.
Those are my two guesses too. But the way Cher tweets about Trump is pretty gloves off. So I'm going to say Cher for this one.
The blog belongs to Rosie O'Donnell.
Damn it.
Can't go wrong with Rosie.
Damn it. Sell those kids.
How to traumatize a generation. A new code of conduct written and approved by this POTUS and his Republican Congress, and beginning with, let's separate children from their parents.
You know the best part about all these stories when they're like, hey, they come from a war zone that is run by evil drug lords, bullets flying, machetes down low, bullets up high, and someone's got to do something about these kids at the border. And it's like, yeah, okay. But let's really just kind of break down your whole statement. What's going on in their country of origin in 2018 where the machetes and the bullets are flying? And let's see if we can focus on that, too. Like, let's focus on the root a little bit and see if we can figure out what's going on. As I said to the great Dr. Drew, in the song Pencil Neck Geek?
Yes.
Freddie Blassie?
Mm.
You know it?
No. I mean, I think you pinned on the show before. Yeah, yeah. The wrestler, right?
Yeah.
Blassie, Freddie Blassie. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the end of Pencil Neck Geek.
What do you like to do to the Pencil Neck Geek or something like that?
Yeah. They're at the end, he says, they say those Pencil Neck Geeks are a dime a dozen. I'm looking for the guy supplying the dimes.
Wow.
Now, saying is, how about some focus on what the hell is going on in Latin, Central, and parts of South America? What's why? When you go, there's more, there, I don't know statistically, but like statistically, like there is more, it's more dangerous in Honduras than it is in the Middle East or whatever. You go, okay. Here's a question. What the fuck is going on? Like, shouldn't this be a part of the discussion? Part of the discussion. Yes. Let's get everyone cleaned up and reunited and let's get them vaccinations and let's do everything we can do. Now, here's another discussion. What the fuck is going on in these places in 2018 that these people are on foot fleeing being murdered by drug lords? Be nice. I'd like to be part of the conversation.
And that's a desperation pass Hail Mary. I mean, I have to imagine 90%+ of the people would like to stay in their home countries, but they're leaving because they are, it's their last resort.
Nobody wants to flee.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, you look at that and you look at Canada. There, people who live in Canada seem to like Canada. They're not being persecuted and there's not as many drug lords, at least that aren't.
They're pretty chill, the ones that
well,
are
after what's his name died.
Ford.
After Ford died, there's no. So they're happy in Canada, and they're not happy over there, and something's going on. And it'd be nice to, I don't know, see if we could, as a world, maybe we get Canada in on this one, too. Yeah. And we go, let's see if we can figure out what's going on over there. All right. Who are the folks?
Is it Bette Midler, Whoopi Goldberg, or Joy Behar?
Oh,
I don't remember the content of this.
I don't remember the set either. Say it one more time.
How to traumatize a generation. A new code of conduct written and approved by this POTUS and his Republican Congress. And beginning with, let's separate children from their parents.
No, it began with them living in a narco state and having to flee people with machetes. That's the beginning. This is the middle. All right.
Bette, Whoopi, or Joy?
I keep wanting, like, I keep hoping that the comedians are smarter than they're letting on. And this could be anyone. I'm going Bette.
I want to go Bette too, but I'll go different. I'll go Joy.
Interesting. I also wanted to go Bette. I'll take Whoopi.
The blog belongs to Bette.
Oh, I knew it.
You did?
Yeah. It's like I knew Cher did the last one.
That's right.
Final blog. Let's call this policy of indiscriminately separating children from their parents at the border exactly what it is, a human rights abuse being committed by the United States government. Is it Bernie Sanders, Rachel Maddow, or Kamala Harris?
Hmm.
Hmm. Damn it. I feel like I've seen this one, and I don't find any of these people.
Hmm.
Hmm. Could be any of these people.
I have a pretty strong guess.
I'm going Kamala.
Okay, good. I'm going Bernie.
I'll go Rachel.
The blog belongs to Kamala Harris.
Oh. Yeah! Wait a minute. We tied up now? Damn All right, it. let me throw in a casserole edge, and then we'll get to the championship round. Ladies, need not apply. A casserole edge. Mm-hmm. Tweet us your question at Adam Carolla Show with a casserole challenge for your question about casserole. And I shall answer a car question. I'll answer it. It's formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction and maximizes engine performance three times.
Three Wait. Times, fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetic. What do you got, Kalen?
All right. At Vassy Chi writes, would Adam still be interested in collecting cars if the investment aspect was not a factor?
Well, it's interesting because I bought race cars because I liked race cars, and I bought Japanese race cars when they had little to no value. So I already kind of did what he was talking about by initially doing it. Now, no one wants to buy anything and sort of throw away money. A house, a car, doesn't piece of real estate, whatever you're buying, unless it's Lean Cuisine or Snackwell.
Thank you.
You'd like it to, you'd like to think that, oh, in 10 years I could sell it and maybe get a little more money. And then, you know, not an ice chest, but something, a durable good, or, you know, something substantial. So I bought, when I got in, Japanese race cars were considered a Japanese strike one. Japanese cars were not Mercedes and not Porsche, not German, not Italian, not even Shelby in America and stuff like that. It was just Japanese. So it was lower end. And then race cars were considered not a useful car to collect. They were more about get a Duesenberg or get a Ferrari. And then that segment has gone ballistic in the last. Can I tell you guys something?
Please.
We're going to diverge for 1 second. I had this moment over the weekend. There was a car, and it was Tommy Kendall's Roush. You heard of Jack Roush? Jack Roush is the guy that's in Uppity. He's the guy who built the maniacal engine builder, the obsessive guy who was the team owner where Willie T drove a Mustang for Roush. And at some point, Roush saw him talking to the guy from F1 and knew he wanted to move on and turn on him. Anyway, one of those cars, a Roush Mustang from like 1995, just sold for like $720,000, which is fine. But it was an auction, and it stalled at $150,000, and it had no reserve, and the guy was about to hammer it down, and I was screaming at my computer watching it, like, go up, because if that car sells at that price, I've just lost $3 million, like, the second that guy hits it, because I had a bunch of cars that were like that car, so I was like, go, 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 and at some point, it just caught on fire and went to 720 all in. Ooh. Anyway, happy about that. No, I would have bought the cars anyway, so, but at some point I would have stopped if it was throwing away money, but I still would have bought the Newman cars and the Japanese cars and the old race cars anyway, and I would have restored them and I would have driven them because that's what I would have done. Yeah, well, I was doing it before they're worth anything, so I think
we got my answer.
Right? I like them. I like the aesthetic of race cars. The thing about the aesthetic of a race car, there are many cars that I own that I don't like in their street version of it. Like a Datsun 510, the street version, the stock version of a Datsun
Pretty
510
sweet.
Is a little shitbox.
The Cutlass.
But the Cutlass.
That you like
But the
so much.
Racing version All of right. it is cool.
My All right. grandpa had a
Okay. Yeah.
yeah. All right. Sorry. Where were we?
Here's our tiebreaker.
Oh, yeah.
On this Father's Day, I just can't stop thinking about the children we have locked up who can't get a hug, who wonder where is my mom, my dad, and all in the name of the Bible, God bless us all. Is it Ron Howard or Henry Winkler?
Boy.
Mm.
Tough one.
Mm. A rare non-baseball cap, Ron Howard.
He must be at the Oscars.
think he kind of screwed it up for all the guys who wear baseball caps because now everyone thinks you're bald. Because he has the right face, has the right beard, and he has hair on the side. So the baseball cap is perfect for him. Brian, I'll let you go first since I have no idea.
Oh, thank God. Because I know for a fact, I don't actually know at all, but I guess it's Henry Winkler.
Henry's sweetest guy in the world. First, Henry Winkler. I never really hear Ron chime
in. He's been a little more vocal lately.
All right.
I feel like I see him get retweeted a lot.
Hope he's on a roll. I'll go with Ron Howard.
The blog belongs to Henry Winkler.
Oh. I knew it.
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blog.
You have me on politically incorrect bringing up the morning after pill? Really?
The reality on the ground is that America is not pro-life. It's pro-choice.
Are we pro-life or pro-choice?
They already said that. I don't know.
Listen, they're stoned and confused. But here's my beef at this.
Adam,
can I hold it? No, we're going left. Come on.
Abortion is such a tragedy.
What about the morning after pill? How come you people aren't getting behind this?
People, I'm standing here talking about
The Republicans will not get behind this morning after pill and will eliminate abortion.
You know, with the morning after
pill. You don't want to eliminate abortion. You want to preach.
That's
different.
Thank you. This is my example.
Vox Populi, voice of the people.
The right, I always hated that they said they're against abortion, but they have a pill that could avoid abortion and they never get next to that. And the left says they're all about border security, but they won't do anything to secure the border. So this is them saying, this is an example of the right and the left saying something, but not really meaning it. You got me on Loveline talking about Maxine. So I realized she was an insane person because I talked to her backstage about the morning after pill. And she was like, I'll probably say it in this clip.
When I did Politically Incorrect tonight, I did it with Maxine Waters, who's I don't even know what she is. She's a pain in the ass. What is she? Some sort of Democratic councilwoman or something out here?
Congresswoman, isn't she?
Congresswoman?
Yeah.
California congresswoman?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. I'll tell you, not a lot going on upstairs over there. Not stupid, but not smart. I always figured you need to be a little bit smart to get into this stuff. And I was saying to her during the commercial, hey, what about the morning after pill? What's going on with this? How come you guys aren't talking about it? What are you doing with it? And she looked at me and her eyes spun around like pinwheels. She had no idea what I was talking about, had barely heard of it, and gave me one of those political answers about looking into the FDA or something. And I busted her nuts a little bit. I said, hey, what do you mean looking into it? There's nothing to look into. Why don't you know more about this? We're going to look in it. I'd always suspected they were doing nothing that we cared about, but it was confirmed tonight. She just had no idea. And by the way, she's one of the biggest advocates of kids who come from crappy families and single parents and more money allocated to those people. And we need counselors, we need daycare, we need adequate this, we need more teachers and all this. How about getting a few of the constituency on the morning after pill, and then maybe we wouldn't need so much. And you could stop your pissing and moaning. God, I mean, I was really appalled that she'd never heard of that.
Doesn't surprise me a bit.
Yeah, and she gave me a politician answer, but she had no idea what I was talking about and said she was going to look into it with the FDA or something, as if
some novel idea.
As if the birth control pill hadn't existed for the last 35 years.
All right. And this is before syphilis started eating her brain. So now she's completely come unhinged. All right. We'll tell you about MedMen, and then we'll keep moving on here. Redefining the cannabis industry, I should say, premium shopping experience. Now through June 30th, they're having a huge sale. 70% off all your favorite brands like Bloom, Papa, and Barkley, Triple J, and more. Plus, $10 off if you just mention me, Gina Grad.
Yeah, it's such a great facility. I think a lot of us have been to the ones that are kind of dingy and dimly lit and the bad purple lighting and no customer service. And it's very intimidating. This is the exact opposite. It's bright. It's clean. It's happy. The people are knowledgeable. It's a really good experience going in there.
No lean cuisine edibles over there.
Zero.
Highest quality, safety. Don't worry about what you're buying. The store's having a big sale, by the way. They're making room. They're doing a voluntary switch to a newer child-resistant packaging setup, and everything else is being sold off, all the stuff in the old packaging. So it's dealing days, man. So check out their 8 locations, L.A., Orange County, San Diego, Vegas, or visit them online, MedMen.com. Find the store nearest you at MedMen.com. Doss?
Visit MedMen until June 30th for 70% off select favorites and mention the Adam Carolla Show for $10 off your order as well. Check out MedMen today.
All right. The aforementioned Chassis is where you can find Uppity, or the aforementioned Uppity on Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y. We're taking pre-orders. It just helps, man. And the Indian Wrecking Crew, narrated by Jay Leno's on that. If you like motorcycles and history, and check that out. And,
I did the final sound mix on that, and it's a hell of a documentary. Really cool story about these guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stories to be told out there, and a few of them are up on chassis.com, so go ahead and check that out. We appreciate it. We'll tell you, go to adamcarolla.com for the live shows. Jesse Lee Peterson is there, out there. He's an activist. He's an author. He's the founder and president of Bond. I'll tell you about what he's doing. He's doing the Lord's work out there. We'll take a break. We'll do some good sports. We'll come back with Jesse Lee Peterson right after this.
Shut it down! Hi, I'm John Taffer. You probably know me because I've rescued thousands of bars, hundreds of them on TV.
That's your future broken!
I'm also a best-selling author, and I've owned and operated a bunch of other businesses. But now, I'm here on Podcast One with my new show, No Excuses. I only yell at assholes. Every Tuesday, I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm giving you all things bar rescue, insider peeks of what's going on the set, current events and topics you care about, with in-your-face analysis, and you know how straight I can be. And I'm going to have unforgettable guest interviews with the world's most interesting people, and I'm going to ask them the questions that nobody else has ever asked them. And yes, sometimes I can be a bit of an ass, but I'm going to shut it down every Tuesday and make no excuses. It's going to be the number one show here on Podcast One. Listen to it every Tuesday on PodcastOne.com, on the Podcast One app, and on Apple Podcasts. And remember, rate and review it, or I'm going to shut you down.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, where we left off yesterday, you were kibitzing about your upcoming trip to England to show off your celebrity car that won the 24 Hours of Daytona that I didn't know until yesterday even existed. And I was driving over here to kibitz with you.
To be fair, just for you, because you're a sports guy, Daytona is a big banked oval. And when you say the Daytona 500, you're thinking NASCAR's going in a circle. Mm-hmm. The Daytona, the 24 Hours of Daytona, is down the straightaway, around one of the banks, back down the straightaway, and then into the infield for a road course, and then back up onto the main track. So it's like they do a road course version of that, and it's a 24-hour race.
I admire the race car drivers and people who suggest that they're not athletes, I think don't really know what they're talking about. But I think there's a weird thing about when you're I've never been to everybody always says, oh, it's one of those things. It's like hockey. You got to see it live to really appreciate it, to hear the sounds and to see the speeds and all that kind of stuff. But that visceral reaction to a car going 150, 200, whatever it goes, is I feel like, how do you get to appreciate the mental grind of doing that track over and over? That, to me, that's the, I mean, along with the quick reflexes and the judgment in split seconds is remarkable by itself. But it's also that, like, in hour two, like when you're in 2.5 hours of the car, like, how do you still, I mean, going that fast and still stay lucid and not ever get, I know your mind can't start wondering about the groceries when you're going 200 miles an hour, but still.
Yeah, I think that's what attracts those guys to that endeavor. And then also, in a 24-hour race, like the 24 hours of Le Mans, you know, it just starts at 4 in the afternoon and it ends at 4 in the afternoon the next day. In the olden days, or not too long ago, they'd have just two drivers. And once in a while, some maniac from Italy or something would just, you know, Baron something would drive the entire race, like in the 40s or something. At some point, they made the rule that said, hey, they used to do two nutty things. They had a rule. They didn't have a rule that two guys had to drive. At some point, they got to like three guys driving because you can't physically sleep.
Well, I was going to say, it's got to be based on what I said. In the 40s, you didn't go as fast as you would go. Now, you can't sustain. You can't be sleep deprived and be going 150.
They would go 240 down the Mulsanne straight.
Maybe is that right?
260.
Oh, my God. I had no idea that that was the speeds that they achieved in that race.
Thanks for sounding like one of my mom's friends. No, certainly not in the 40s. But now, and in the 70s, they were going 240, 250. Now they're going like 265.
That'd be a cool event to go to someday for me. I'd like to check that out.
It was a good event. It's way out of Paris. You have to take a train there, but it's definitely a bucket list thing. Just like if, I don't know, if you're not into golf, but you just want to go to the Masters once just to see what it's like, then fine.
I never went to the Indy 500 in spite of living in Bloomington, Indiana for 4 years of my life.
I went last year.
The question I have for you is, I was driving over here and drove by, and I clearly, based on the last few minutes, it tells the tale. I know nothing about cars. But I drove by a Corvette Stingray, and I saw it was an old guy driving it, and it was a cool old car. I would guess it was built in the early 60s. I wouldn't know, but my untrained eye guesses that. And I thought, what a cool-looking car that is. And I thought, is there a car that is iconic on some level that is worse now than than the classic Corvette versus the current one?
Mm-hmm.
Or do car people think Corvettes are cool right now, like a 2000 whatever Corvette? Yeah. They look the exact same for the last 20 years, as far as I can tell.
They've evolved a lot. The new ones work really well. The older ones looked cool, but probably didn't work that well.
I don't think they look cool. I'm talking about like the last 20 years worth of them. I'm talking about the 60s ones are awesome.
Yeah, I'm saying the old ones looked cool, but they didn't work that well. The new ones... The thing about Corvettes and all cars that are going into the performance, like deep into the performance well, is at some point you got to get the computer out and you have to throw it in the wind tunnel and you have to let the computer do the calculations. And so if you think about it, Chevy is not going to have a different computer and a different set of calculations than Nissan or Porsche or Ferrari. They're going to arrive at a lot of the same conclusions. So the cars are going to start sort of taking on the same shape, just like you take a look at World War II and you look at the fighter planes of World War II from Japan to Russia to Germany to the United States. They all look very different. England, the Spitfire doesn't look like a Mustang. I mean, they have wings and a propeller, but the stuff that the Zero or Messerschmitt, they're all different because they had to be. These were separate people like doing separate things. But what if there was one like central computer that said, sweep the wings, make the ends elliptical, do this, do that. So then they would all look the same. And that's kind of where modern cars are going. They're starting to look the same because the computers are telling them, this is what works the best.
And that makes sense.
And you could go, well, I got my own style, though that's fine. But when you take it to the Nürburgring to test it, be prepared to be beaten by the guys who don't have so much of their own style.
It is weird, too. I know it's a rote conversation, but it really is remarkable having two little boys. And I have two little boys and two little girls. And both boys, 1 9, 1 4, one daughter 11, one daughter 2, the two boys, if a Lamborghini goes by, I mean, I just don't care that much. I'm just not invested in cars. But I was this way too as a child too. A Lamborghini or a Ferrari comes up on the road, and they, Dad, look at that car! Look at that! What is that thing? They go crazy for it, and the girls do not even. What car are you talking about? Where? I don't see it.
Why is that? I got a cultural question for you, Sheck.
Yes.
I'm going to tease it. I'm going to give you some time to think about it. There's certain cultures that have different relationships with cars. And in a weird way...
I know where you're going, and you're right.
It's kind of fitting. Like, if you look at Germans, Germans get hold of a car, and they're like, how can we make it go faster? Mexicans get hold of a car, and they go, how can we slow it down a bit? It's an interesting... Like, we'll do a low rider. Low and slow. Over there, Germans don't have a low and slow. They have a fast. That's all they have. And you sort of look at the cultures and go, okay, that culture's a little more laid back, and that culture's out there working on, working on rocketry in the 40s. You know, like, they want to go faster. They want to go slower. Fine. Jews.
Why don't the Jews, as a people, why don't we care about the cars?
I've known many Jews.
Jerry Seinfeld is an exception that proves the rule because he's super rich, I guess that's what people do, but.
I've known many, many folks of the Jewish faith. Now, they don't know a lot about cars, and they're not interested. Now, you take the brothers don't know a lot about cars and very interested, which is different than the Jews, which is don't know and don't care when it comes to the four wheels. I don't know, money, they're nice. I know there's an element of, they don't really have that daredevil sort of gene or whatever, but
I was just going to say,
take that Ferrari and take it out for a track day or something like that. But why the no, and Gary's got a thought. Hold on, stifle yourself for a second, Gary. Let me tell you about Double Dare. And then I'd like to, Dylan's over there. Is that Dylan's arm?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Dylan,
hey, how are you?
You're very Jewy, if not an official Jew. I feel like if you're either Jewish or you could speak freely for Jews and no one would ever go, wait a minute.
He's like the Bernie Kosar of podcast producers. Yeah. Wait, he's not Jewish? What? Are you sure?
Bernie Kosar. All right, Double Dare. I want to know from everyone why, or maybe we'll tease it for tomorrow's show, but Double Dare on the, where was it? Oh, yeah, Double Dare on Nickelodeon. There we go. Trivia is tough. The challenges are rough, and the giant nose is stuffed. Oh, let's not make a Jewish comment there. You can't miss a single sloppy second of a Double Dare. Host Liza, I'm going to say her name slowly, Koshy. Liza Koshy and Double Dare legend Mark Summers are back, and they're bringing the messiest game show back to TV. God bless them. Don't miss the all-new Double Dare. That's weeknights, 8 o'clock, 7 Central on Nickelodeon. Double Dare, Nickelodeon, weeknights, 8 o'clock, 7 Central.
Wow.
Double Dare.
You know what? I mean, the gold standard of game show host names, I thought for eternity, would be Wink Martindale, but Koshy.
Koshy.
La and la. All right.
Tomorrow, should we...
Car talk.
Should we tackle the vexing question of the Jewish folks? Not saying don't appreciate a nice BMW sedan or something, but I mean, I go to these vintage races all over the country, all over the place, all over the time. Not one person of the Jewish, you know what I'm saying? Not one bit.
Dylan and I both understand what you're talking about there. All right, so we'll wrap that one up for you tomorrow on Good Sports. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Podcast One Sports, out.